previously on Valiant.
Sarna and Ziadani, you both have a strange dream. You walk onto a circular platform. And when you do so, just ever so slightly, the platform is glowing. And it illuminates water just out, around the platform. You stand out there and the light begins to glow brighter and brighter. As it does so, you can just see for just a moment there's what looks to be ancient carvings and stuff on the walls. The runes grow bright, and then it goes dark again, and the last thing you see before you wake up is a pair of glowing yellow eyes in the darkness. And these eyes are not human eyes. They blink, and they change from yellow to green, and they blink again, and they go through a few different colors, and then they close one last time, and you wake up. You head to the chapel, and you see that there is a large cart sitting outside. Yes, oh, didn't realize there would be other followers of Pati Kuato here. Nice to make your acquaintance. I'm Umaria. Well, I'm Halti, and that over there is Muvarin, so nice to make your acquaintance.
We, Ziadani and I, have been receiving visions.
Visions, you say? Of a temple?
How did you know that?
I've had visions as well. It's the reason we started this pilgrimage.
I think I know where the temple is. Yes, it sounds to me like the Temple of the Whisperer, which is about a week north and somewhat west of here between the mountains and the Glass Desert.
So you want to go to the temple?
I would want nothing more than that, yes.
I feel like the Quaddle has brought us together for some reason.
If you don't mind waiting a few days, I'd happily join you to visit this temple and see what we can find.
I think we have to go together. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that sounds appropriate.
All right. So you make your way to the temple. Here at the base of the Temple of the Whisperer, which is a very large pyramid, step pyramid, which is different from a ziggurat for those of you listening, because a ziggurat has that path that winds up and around, and step pyramids don't. So that's your
pyramids with Louise.
That's my pyramid lore check. Mostly because. I had to figure out the difference myself when I wrote something that involved a step pyramid. Kept wanting to call it a ziggurat because that's a cool word. You want to use cool words in your writing sometimes, right? But you also want to be accurate.
Make sure to check that your hero points or essence points are at 3 and that your armor class is correct from all the armor buffs that we bought.
Oh god, what were the armor buffs?
People
oh
bought new armor runes.
Yeah.
On the shopping episode.
My armor was still at 20, so it's now 22. Which I need to change the base. And I need to change my base hit points to 48, because it's 58 only because of false life.
Oh, I already have magic armor, so I don't think
Boom.
I added anything to mine.
Oh yeah, I don't think you did.
So, here at the base of the pyramid, you're looking up the. Let's paint a word picture, and describe this pyramid for people. Big sandstone pyramid, yellowed stone. There is a grand motif of Quaddles everywhere, which is fitting for a temple dedicated to a Quaddle god. Here at the very base where you're standing, there's a large symbol that appears to have imagery of a quaddle carved in. We'll say it's carved into the ground there. There's several statues along the rising height of the pyramid, along the steps that go up toward the very top, where there are finally a pair of very large stone statues of coiled up quaddles. One of them has toppled over, which I guess makes sense if this structure is thousands of years old. And there also appears to be an entryway at the very top. There's a small structure, like a little building on the very top. If you imagine the step pyramids in Mexico, the Incan pyramids, they have that little tiny, I don't know, little building at the very top of the structure. Yeah. And that appears to be the access into the pyramid itself. So it's you four plus your fun crew of Pralti and Umaria and Canton and last name, can't remember. Pralti Muvarin, there we go. All of you are here. Some of you are more empowered than your allies. Turns out it's all the player characters have all the fun buffs going on right now. We ended last time.
We could have buffed everyone else.
Yeah.
And we just didn't.
That just means there'll be background elements more so than direct parts of conflicts and stuff. Because I don't want to run four extra characters.
They have to watch behind us. That's a very important job.
It's exactly. True. You arrived at the very end of the session just... let me start that sentence over. You ended the last session arriving just as we were bringing an end to here. So right now, imagine yourselves walking up these first few steps up onto the pyramid. You can see all of this stuff from the ground where you were approaching it. So you have all this detail. But the moment you cross this threshold of getting up to the top of this first staircase that leads up the pyramid, things feel weird. You feel an uneasiness. You feel concern and anxiety rush over you out of nowhere. And as that happens, as the last of the group that's with you crosses this threshold and makes it up to the top of these steps, suddenly everything feels like you get a sense of vertigo for just a moment, and then suddenly everything changes. The world grows dark, and it feels like you're in a different place now. You can still see the pyramid up above you, up ahead, but everything has gone dark. Suddenly all the torches along the steps up toward the pyramid have lit up as if they were intentionally lit up at night. There are various little statues and carvings along the rising platform that are now spewing blood, just channels of blood that seem to spill out to the outside of the pyramid and create kind of like a blood moat and kind of a boundary around this pyramid. And the rest of the structure looks the same. It still appears to be sandstone, still appears to be the same steps and everything, but it suddenly feels like you're in like a weird parallel shadow terrible version of this pyramid, and also up where there weren't before, up the next big flight of stairs, there are a bunch of creatures just kind of shambling about, and they look like very gross undead boars. These gross they look undead. You're not entirely sure from where you are, and you're not anywhere close to them, but they're stomping about, they're huffing, they're wheezing, and they look emaciated. You can see, in the picture here, you can see actual exposed ribs, like as if the flesh has been torn away there. They're pox ridden, they're Some of them have maggots crawling within their skin. They're very gross. And for the moment, they haven't noticed you, but suddenly you're in a very weird place.
I draw my sword.
Does this feel, like, is there anything about this place that is similar to when we were in the, like, underground inside the Glass Treader temple? Or any of that?
No, because you had a completely different vibe there.
Okay, okay.
When you were in the Glass Treader, you were at peace.
Yeah.
As if, like, you know, that place was intentionally built to be peaceful or welcome you. This is the complete opposite. This is a world that is intentionally, like, stressing you out and trying to throw you off and freak you out.
Bad times.
Do I feel like we might be in any particular realm or plane or demiplane or anything?
You can attempt an occultism check.
Cool.
And see what might be going on with this place.
All right. D20 plus 12. Roll the 16 for 28.
28. All right. Look at that. At first, you think we may have crossed into the ethereal plane. This feels very ghostly. This feels very afterlife-ish. But upon further scrutiny, I mean, you do this in an instant, of course. The like psychic forces that would be normally part of the ethereal plane would be like general feelings, not a specific like anxiety feeling, and that keys you into the fact that, oh, we're probably in Xibalba, which is the land of the Sakyals, the home of these terrible, dreadful things. It resembles like a part of the ethereal plane, and depending on how unfortunate you are while traveling the ethereal plane, you kind of just stumble into it. But its entire existence, the Xibalba, is entirely made up from the fears of countless mortals. So its essence is maintained by pure terror and horror. And Sakyals, which are creatures that feed off of the horror of mortals and are trying to intentionally build up the fears that they all have, are right at home here. So you don't know if the pyramid itself has been transported to Xibalba, or if it's partially there, or if this is just like a replica within it. But you're not in a very good place. Things are going to be rough.
I automatically, instantly feel very bad for bringing Cranton with us.
Saren's going to take one giant step backwards and see if he disappears out of the place he just walked into and goes back home.
You will have to cross this suddenly existent blood moat, which is a dozen feet across.
But we all have fly.
Yeah, I since I've got fly, I am in fact going to float backwards.
Okay, yeah, you fly back over this moat. And wouldn't you know, yeah, you seem to cross the threshold back into the material plane.
See him disappear?
Yes, you do see him disappear. Okay. You actually even see, like, the faintest shadow outline of him just beyond where he is. If he moves much further, though, that kind of just grows out of focus and disappears.
So at least we're not trapped.
If I were fancy enough, I could move Saren over to a different map that's a nice map again, but well.
No, I don't think that's necessary. And having determined he can go home, he'll come back and look much better about things.
Thank you for establishing that. That does add some peace of mind.
Yeah, this is optional, folks. We can do this or not as we prefer.
And I feel like I should make it clear we're probably in Xibalba, which is a ethereal adjacent plane of dread and nightmare and fear made real, which these creatures feed on. So stay optimistic.
I load my pistol.
I'm glad I have bravery.
I'm glad we have a bard.
You don't keep that thing loaded?
By the way, anyone who wants to know what those weird pig boar things are, can attempt to recall knowledge with occultism or religion.
Yes, that was my next roll.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yep. Same roll. Plus 12. Ooh, I rolled an 18 this time. 30.
Okay. You know those to be Nukol Sakils? Boy. That's Nukol. Check out Bestiary 3 for those following at home. They are Sakils that particularly prey upon the fear of, like, parasites and disease and stuff. So, you know, their appearance as pestilence-ridden boars makes sense. You know, they're going to try to take advantage of that, turn that up. A few things to note about them. They have a disease where if they, you know, they hurt you with their tusks, they can transmit this disease, which can be pretty rough. And another gross thing is that it can intentionally, like, spray... we'll just say spray fluids from its body, from a wound to try to transmit this disease.
Gross.
Ev shares all that while pulling a vial of something from one of his pockets. If you have an anti-plague, I suggest you drink it.
I still have an antidote, but I do not have an anti-plague.
Same.
Well,
die.
You're probably going to be face to face with these creatures, so you can have my anti-plague.
Oh, thank you.
If I should die of disease,
it's your fault.
Awesome. I drink the anti-plague. I very much thank you. I've just been sitting here thinking this whole time of, do I spend this whole routine or this whole fight one action to get close, strike, and then one action to get away as quickly as possible.
So that will give you a plus 2 to your fortitude saves.
Awesome.
For 24 hours against disease. It also applies to daily saves against disease progression.
Great.
Bye, anti-plague. I try to always keep one of all the classics, just in case.
That's wise.
Yeah. I have plenty of antidotes, though, but I only want anti-plague.
So if anyone tries to dote on you, Rob is ready.
Yep. We're all ready.
We'll say Umaria, at the mention of Shababa's, like, I feared this is what I thought this was, and hearing you say it means that I guess it's true. What could have caused this?
Corruption by some dark priest, like the legends say?
We learned that Apuk, his sermons prey on the fears of mortals. So that must have opened the doors for the whatever this realm is that you were just referring to.
Maybe it isn't that the priest here was malevolent. Maybe he just got corrupted by his own fear and it seeped into the temple.
From what you know of Apuk, that seems to be the way a lot of things work out, is people aren't necessarily evil. They just end up falling prey to their own fears and slipping into evil tendencies, and that's how he gets you.
How close are we to the boars, the new calls at this time?
According to Roll 20, you are a little over 100 feet away.
Oh, I was
looking at the wrong thing. Yeah, they're on the map. Yeah.
I see now. I was scrolled to the top. Should we make our advance?
I think we have to.
Oh no. No, I have very carefully established we don't have to. We can go home.
True.
There's always that option.
If it is the will of the party that we go deal with the disgusting evil plague pork, I'm in. But I want to establish that we have choices. I am not a fan of saying we have no choice. We have a choice. We don't have to do this. So if we decide to, that's on us.
Right. I'm deciding.
You and the others should probably hang back.
We're going in as well. I mean,
I just mean when we're fighting, just maybe hang back a little.
Very well.
Stay out of the range of disease puking boars, probably.
Oh, this is not going to be fun.
These creatures here, Ev, you think they're guarding the temple? They're like the real tough ones, or they gonna be the real soft ones?
From what the recall knowledge check gave them, you feel pretty capable of taking them down on your own. The only thing they really got going for them right now is that, like, you know, if you're unlucky, the disease might afflict you, and there are several Nukols at once. If it was just one, then that thing would be pork chops, no problem.
I'd say these are entry level, thus why they're at the entry, although having a group of them makes it a bit more difficult.
Right.
My plan is to deal massive amounts of damage before they have the chance to get the whole party sick.
Pro tip, to defeat your enemies, reduce their hit points to zero while keeping yours above zero.
You know, Sarna is a genius at strategy. What can I say?
It's a bold tactic, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out for them.
I start see the action, and they go, oh, I'm going to stab that with my sword.
Luis, do we feel like we would be able to refocus after this fight, or is this place too bad vibes?
No, you as bad of vibes as there are, you're all still heroes and can still refocus.
Okay.
That would be very mean to not let you refocus.
That is such a cool idea, though.
Yeah, it'd be a perfect, like, hazard for like a like floor of a dungeon, but for the entirety of a thing, no, it's too much.
I'm going in. I got my sword raised. I got my shield at the ready.
Yeah, Ev draws out his revolver.
I'm gonna turn into an animal.
I will be holding one of my empty throwing pistols.
I mean, it worked before.
It's worked several times. It's way more effective than me shooting them.
It's an excellent strategy.
Luis, just to clarify, Ev knows then that they are extraplanar, otherworldly creatures and not undead?
They are not undead, for sure.
All right.
So any, like, chill touch or disrupt undead and the like are going to work the way they meant. They're not going to work as if they were undead.
Yeah, so Ev just says, and to clarify, though they look like they're rotting and falling apart, which they are, they just haven't died from it yet. So bear that in mind. They're not undead.
These Nukols are kind of just, they're not like patrolling or anything. They're just kind of moving about naturally. They hadn't noticed you at all, but once Sarna moves up those steps, they start squealing and snorting in like echoing horrific tones, and by the time you make it to the top of the steps, they get ready to roll initiative. So go ahead and move yourselves up there or to wherever you would like to be when initiative starts, and then we will do just that. We'll roll initiative. Hey there, Luis here. It's me, your GM for Valiant. So this episode marks the beginning of an enormous dungeon crawl, which is going to take quite a bit of time. So far we've done two sessions of it, and we're only almost halfway through the entire dungeon. So, well, more like I'd say it's actually probably about halfway through. Anyway, two sessions in, halfway through this dungeon, and it's going to be a while, and I'm just giving you a warning now that we're going to be at the Temple of the Whisper for quite some time. So strap in for that. One thing I'm considering with these upcoming episodes is maybe trimming the fat a bit and not necessarily including all aspects of party chatter and figuring out puzzles and stuff like that. At the very least, you know, fast-forwarding some of it so it's not just listening to them discuss all the different possibilities of a puzzle or the next step, and maybe only that last bit where they find the solution or where they finally decide a thing to maybe save some time and make this bearable to listen to. But if you are interested in hearing all of that, I'd love to hear your opinion. I'm still deciding how exactly I want to handle the upcoming episodes within the Temple of the Whisper. There's a lot of opportunities to trim things down, but also a lot of fun back and forth, a lot of banter, a lot of discussion, a lot of figuring things out as things go on. So based on what people say, based on what kind of feedback I get, I might decide to keep that all in. Who knows? One thing I think that'll make things easier when listening to these episodes is to follow along with the maps. I try my best to have show notes that include links to all of the maps I'm using. Some of them are maps that I create myself, but a lot of them are maps that I find around the internet, usually through Patreons or through other companies. I use a lot of 2-minute tabletop maps. And in particular, this time around, these maps come from Che Impeku. I think that's how you pronounce them, C-Z-E-P-E-K-U, Che Impeku. That's what I'm going to go with. I don't know if there's an official pronunciation. They are making a lot of wonderful maps. A lot of them are focused on D&D 5th edition, but of course, like any good map, because it's got that 1-inch grid, you can kind of use it for whatever game you really need. So, of course, I'm bringing them over to Pathfinder 2nd edition. I highly recommend checking out the Che Impeku maps. You can find their maps on their website, Che Impeku, C-Z, or C-Z, if you're into that, C-Z-E-P-E-K-U.com, and look through all of their maps. They are kind enough to let you see all of the maps before you really commit to buying any of them, so you can use these maps to kind of follow along, or maybe even use them for your own game. In particular, the maps of the Temple of the Whisper are using the Temple of the Quaddle map set from Che Impeku. There are both exterior and interior versions of the maps, and of course we're going to be covering all of those. So find the maps, use the show note links, follow along, and you know, hopefully that'll help you keep track of everything that's going on, which will be particularly useful once they actually get inside of the temple and they go back and forth between a variety of rooms. If you want, I highly recommend supporting Che Impeku on Patreon. I'm sure their site has a link to their Patreon page, and that's what I do, and they give you a variety of different maps. The Temple of the Quaddle maps come in like almost 20 different variants, so you can use them for whatever you really need. And in addition to that, they usually have a lot of additional content, things like extra adventures that are tied to these things, maybe monsters that are tied to these maps, or other different things. They're really cool. I'm not sponsored by Che Impeku in any way. I just think they're super neat, and I recommend checking them out. In particular, I use this Temple of the Quaddle, which is tied to a 5th edition adventure, which I've shamelessly ripped and use for this campaign here because I like a lot of what they do. There's a lot of cool puzzles, a lot of interesting movement throughout the temple, and saves me the trouble of having to come up with the temple myself. So yeah, go check them out and follow along if you want. Otherwise, I don't know, stay tuned for more times in the temple. There's the fight breaking out here in just a second, and starting with the next episode, they're going to actually be going inside the temple and figuring out all the secrets that lie within. But for now, let's get back to the exterior of the temple where this fight's about to break out and see exactly how things play out with these gross, nasty, disease pigs, the plague porks, as Owen liked to call them, and you'll hear in just a bit. So let's see what happens. Let's hear that guitar. Mm-hmm.
When I said Ziadani turns into an animal, I have selected my animal. She is going to turn into a coyote.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, I guess Saren is taking things seriously.
I like the idea that I walk up there first, and then Saren comes up behind me and immediately supplants me in turn order. Go for it.
Saren is 100% right there. Are we actually, is it time? Okay.
Yes.
So I am going to take an action to inspire courage. And then I'm going to take an action to cast shield. And actually, I don't think I'm going to do anything with my last action.
All right. Coyote Ziadani.
Okay. I'm going to move to here and then make... up against this one, Sakil is kind of on the edge here,
mm-hmm.
and then do a jaws strike and roll a natural one.
Great, you did it.
I did it.
Was that all three actions for you?
That is, I moved twice.
Great. So the first Nicole just charges. At Sarna.
They charge, can't flank me.
Charge in the sense that it rushes straight at you rather than any kind of mechanical thing. And it tries to gore you with its tusk. Not very neat. Not very nice of it, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Or at least I assume they can't flank me. I picked this spot because there appears to be a pillar next to it. Is that a spot that someone can stand in or not?
No. Okay, cool. At the very least, they would be standing up above you, so it still wouldn't be
okay.
A flank. I have your character sheet. Why don't I use it?
Uh-oh. Why do you need my character sheet?
No, I'm talking about the new call.
Oh.
the stats are pre-built into Roll 20, so I might as well take advantage of them.
Gotcha.
It's
like, what's Luis about to do to me?
All right. I forget. Do you guys see that roll?
I do see that roll, and okay. A 27 is going to hit.
Okay, you shouldn't see that roll.
Okay.
but that's fine. This one time, a 27 hits you for 12 piercing damage and 3 evil damage. Evil.
Evil.
So go ahead and give me a fortitude save, Sarna.
Will do. That's a 23.
Thank you. Anyway, next turn. You don't know what happens. Yeah.
That's sure don't.
How things work. The new call that is up against Ziadani is just going to turn.
Hold up, though. Was that a save against disease?
It was a save against disease.
And that was a 25.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's all we'll say about that. The new call goes to attack Ziadani.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 22 to hit.
That will miss.
All right, let's make a second strike. 26.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Okay. That hits you for... I don't think any of you care whether or not damage is evil damage in terms of like weaknesses or anything.
I was going to say I care, but no, it doesn't have a game mechanical difference.
All right, so I'm just going to say, hey, Ziadani takes 17 damage, and this boar moves away, leading into Sarna's turn.
Do you desire a fortitude save from me?
Oh, yes.
Or no? Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Well, I have 31.
That was quite good.
That's a number. Sarna.
It's a number.
I am thrilled to bits that this thing came directly up to me, so I didn't have to use a turn to or an action to come close to it.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm going to do is...
cut it in half.
Is a power attack it. Yeah. God. That was a 19, so that's a bummer.
That's gonna miss unless you feel like rolling it.
I will not waste an essence point on our entry level fight, so I will just do Another regular attack.
Okay.
29.
29 hits, yep.
Okay. So for damage, that's going to be 17 slashing. And that is the end of my turn.
Another new call runs over to try to beat up Sarna.
Good.
But instead of just attacking, this one is going to say it actually ends up here. Just a bit away from Sarna and Saren. And it sprays its pus at both of you. I need both of you to give me a fortitude save.
And may I say, yuck.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. A reminder, that's
it's horrible.
Sarna has +2.
Oh, I remember. So that's adding a 16 to my roll, which is pretty good, except I rolled a 1. So I'm going to actually use an essence point for that.
Okay. Don't forget to add +1 with your essence point.
Yes.
I got a 22.
33.
Okay. Thank you. So now it's Ev's turn.
Ev is going to point a finger up at the blue dotted one and chant Yabaridi as he casts Ray of Frost. I rolled a 10 for 23.
That hits. It strikes true.
D4 plus 5. 7 damage.
7 damage. All right.
Not a critical by chance, right?
No.
Yeah. And Ev, I had wanted to do shield, but I want to make sure I can get 30 feet when I need it. So let's see. Ev's going to take 1 step forward. And that's the end of my turn.
All right. That Nicole you just shot with your Ray of Frost charges you.
Aww.
You drew its attention.
Yeah.
A 27 to hit you.
Oh, that hits.
For 12 damage.
And there goes those temporary hit points.
That's the end of its turn. And it's Saren's turn.
Right, I will take an action to put up the Inspire Courage, because it only lasts a round, and we already have this lovely purple circle, so why not maintain it? And then I am going to take 2 actions to tonically projectile an empty pistol at the red dot plague pork.
Okay.
I will hit a 25.
25 is a hit.
All right, and then that is for 16 points of damage.
Nice.
Amazing.
Oh, sorry. 17 points of damage, because I get the benefit of my own Inspire Courage.
Wow.
Yay.
Oh, I am powered. I'm stupid. I should have done 2d4 more damage.
Okay, roll 2d4.
I apologize.
That sounded pretty low.
I was like, wow. Why was that low? Because I'm foolish.
You're using the 1E version.
Oh. 2 more damage. I rolled 1s.
He rolled 2 1s. Both of them were 1s.
Thanks, roll 20.
Ziadani.
All right, Ziadani is going to double move to get in here into flanking with poor Ev.
Mm-hmm.
And then make a Jaws strike.
I forget to add +1. Oh, hey, look at that. That's a critical
33.
Hit. That's a critical hit.
So 18 awesome. Damage.
No, I'm going to take your 12 and double that to 24 damage.
Okay, that's nice. I like that better.
Canine Jaws. Look at you go. All right. You take a bite out of this. Gross. Out of this.
Yeah, it's pretty gross, but there's a lot of magic going on.
Yeah, a lot of
also,
magic.
Also, you're a coyote.
Coyotes
are 100% evolved to eat carrion, so there we go.
This new call that is in front of Sarna, right before it attacks. Sarna, you hear in your mind, telepathically, it seems like the new call looks you straight in the eye and says,
why have you come here, you mortal?
I'm here to kill you and your masters.
It just laughs at you, a wicked, wet laugh in your head. And it goes
a nasty
to,
laugh.
Yeah, very gross laugh. And then it goes to strike you. 23 to hit.
No.
23 is a miss. All right. Then you see it begin to cast a spell.
I can't do anything about that.
That's not true.
You take an attack of opportunity or something?
Oh, I can take an attack of opportunity. Oh, you forgot about that. I'm going to take spells. An attack of opportunity.
Do it.
Did I forget one of the basic features of my character? Yes. But also I rolled a 19. So
did you add the plus one from Inspire Courage?
I didn't. I rolled a 20. Does that make any difference?
Sarna, you hit with a 20.
Awesome.
It was a success, not a critical success. And so it doesn't interrupt the spell. But go ahead and roll the damage.
I just accidentally added my to hit damage instead of my damage bonus. So don't look at that. I did not actually deal 24 points of damage. That would be pretty awesome. But with Inspire Courage, 13 damage.
13. All right. Then go ahead and give me a will save.
Oh, will save.
Yes.
Is it against a fear effect?
It sure is.
Oh, boy. Oh,
awesome.
You'll get plus one for the Inspire Courage.
Plus one for the Inspire Courage and one degree of success better from bravery.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a 22 for the roll.
All right. So that is a success, which in turn becomes a critical success, if I recall.
Awesome.
Excellent.
And you have no fear.
I have no fear.
The fear spell is ineffectual.
That's awesome.
The new call's done. This other new call, which is this one. Oh, it's the one that Ziadani left behind. It's going to chase after Ziadani. Go up, up, up. And it also, in similar fashion to asking Sarna, reaches into your mind, Ziadani, and asks your reason for being here.
Yes, to kill you.
It doesn't respond, because if I try to be like, not if I kill you first, that's not good. It's going to come across as silly.
But you did have to put it in the universe.
Yeah.
I won't say that at all. Anyway. It gets a 31 against you.
Oh, a 31 will hit me, but it's not a crit.
It's not a crit, but it only manages to roll 9 damage. Then leading into Sarna's turn.
All right. I've still got this thing right in front of me, so why not do another power attack and hope that it actually hits? 23, I believe that hits, yes? Yes.
Yeah, nice.
Excellent. So then I'm going to do 3d8. Plus 5 with the Inspire Courage. Oh, that was not a great roll. 13 damage again. Okay.
13 damage.
But if I keep wailing on it, eventually it will die.
Correct.
This thing has not been particularly effective at hitting anyone, so I'm not going to bother raising my shield. I'm just going to attack again.
Famous last words.
Famous last words. 21.
Yep.
And that's with the multiple attack penalty. 14 damage this time.
He did more than your normal strength on my power attack.
Power attack.
All right. New call number 3.
Looks bloody.
Is going to go in on Saren. Ask the same thing. What are you doing here, mortal? What's up? What's your deal?
I seek to learn the Song of the West, and seeking that song has led me here to where your destruction will be but one little side note verse in a much more impressive melody.
Lovely.
It again doesn't respond, but attempts to strike you. Ooh, yikes. This is a 30 versus Saren.
That's a hit, but not a critical hit.
Okay, this is... everyone else was rolling really low damage. This one gets 21 damage on Saren.
Ouch!
I'm
I'm sorry, friend. Turn to pat you on the shoulder. Really good after you've been gored by a boar.
And then it's going to attempt to demoralize you. What's your will DC?
Plus 14.
Okay, so that'd be 24, but 24. Add one more because
for the so 25. Courage.
It just barely succeeds at freaking you out. Getting gored by a gross pestilence boar does sometimes freak people out. You become frightened one. But that's it for the Lucal's turn. It's Ev.
Ev is not going to move.
Mm-hmm.
Ev chants Yao Mei Mei as he spreads out both hands and electricity jumps between both hands, and then it sparks to the blue dotted and the orange dotted one that are around Ziadani, and effectively the blue dotted one that's between Ziadani and Ev. So that is a reflex save DC 22 for each of them.
They both save. Go ahead and roll damage. Actually, one rolled a crit.
Darn it. So let's see. That's 3d4 plus my spellcasting. 3d4 plus 4. Oh, I rolled good damage, though. 14.
Cool. Only one of them takes half of that.
Yeah. And then Ev adds in a quick Ngaho as he casts shield with a brief force looking buckler appearing magically in front of him.
Hey, wouldn't you know it, Ev, you also get asked a question about your reasoning for being here.
Ev says quickly, "We're going to free this temple, so I suggest you move out."
You get you get also a gross wet laugh in your mind as this boar 22 to hit you.
22 is my armor class, but
do you have your shield bonus?
That's
plus one,
I think. Oh, that's right. So no, it misses. Thanks, shield.
All right. It strikes 13. Yikes. It's going to also attempt to intimidate you. What's your will DC?
My will DC would be a 21 normally. I don't think Inspire Courage would help there. So,
is Intimidate a fear effect?
Probably it is a not. Fear effect.
Oh, it is. Then yes, you do get a plus
one. Inspire Courage adds against saves against fear. So does it add to the DC?
I will say it adds to the DC.
Okay, so okay. Then 23. I mean, 20... It's 22, then.
You only have a... All right, cool. It also succeeds, but not... Wait, hold on. I think you get feared. You get frightened, too, on a success. Oops. Let's find out. Only frightened one. Nope. Okay.
All right.
I wish I had a feat that was, like, protective embrace. When you are not a feared... You can give a hug to your afeared comrades.
And it's one action and it lowers their fear level by one step.
Exactly. This is a new fighter class feat.
I would make it two actions, but otherwise, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is it like a one-arm hug or like a full embrace? Because if it's a one-arm hug, it's probably not regardless, as effective, but one action.
No, regardless of which how many arms you use, one plus arms, you have to take that moment where you're like, say, it's okay. And that's where that second action
that's
comes
true.
In.
That's true. That's true.
Saren's turn. What are you going to do?
It's a really good question. I've been trying to decide whether I'm going to do a shield or not, and I think I'm not. I am going to go ahead and do Inspire Courage. Then that courage will offset the penalties I am taking for the fear, and I will go ahead and huck that same empty, battered pistol that is now laying on the ground near where I hit it the first time at the red dot plague boar. Nope, no, the damage roll is wrong. So it's a 26 to hit.
Okay, and it would be 4 lower on that damage, is that right?
Yes.
Should be 3d6 plus 4. All right. So you hit with 26 and deal 20 damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
smacking the boar upside the head. And
that old trick.
And then your frightened condition goes away. Well, it goes down by one at the end of the turn. Ziadani.
But I was frightened one, so it goes to frightened zero and goes away, right?
Yes, indeed.
All right, I am attacking the blue dot with my canine jaws.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 27 to hit flat-footed.
Does that include the plus one from Owen?
No, no. So it's a 29 against flat-footed.
28.
Yes. Yes.
All right, versus flat-footed, that's a crit.
So yeah. 30 damage.
30 damage.
Get him.
And then my second attack is an 18 against flat-footed.
That hits.
So 12 damage.
That is enough to take out this.
Awesome. Well done.
Woohoo.
And then my third attack against the other one, the orange dot.
Mm-hmm.
That'll miss. That's a seven.
Seven. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Seven misses. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
You did well.
You're not that amazing of heroes. All right. So
I got a lot done.
The new call that's facing Sarna once again in your mind reaches out to you.
Why choose to return?
And strikes you.
Fascinating.
Attempts to strike you. All right. 28 to hit?
That will hit, but is obviously not a crit.
13 damage.
All right.
And it strikes again, natural one. What else should it do? Yeah, it's just going to strike one more time. No, that's a complete miss. The Lucal that's facing Ziadani moves back and casts a spell on Ziadani. Give me a will save, please.
All right, my will save. I have a 22 or a 23 against fear.
All right. Well, that's a success, but I think that leaves you at frightened one with how fear works.
All right.
Yes, you're frightened one.
Okay.
Which isn't too bad. Sarna's turn.
I'm going to try to freaking kill this boar. And I'm going to power attack again.
Okay.
That's a 30.
That's a crit.
Yeah. Oh, this is good. This is going to be juicy.
Yeah, it's gross, still. Split this thing asunder, and it is very...
Yeah, that is 23 slashing damage.
46 damage. Boy. Any of you play Final Fantasy X?
No.
My favorite Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy X.
When you deal too much, like, way more damage than is necessary to defeat a creature, there's a little thing that pops up that says overkill.
Yep.
Sarna, you have one action left.
I have one action left. I'm gonna attack the boar that's been threatening Saren. That's a 22 to hit.
That hits.
We're doing great over here. Sarna's on top of the world. And that is 17 slashing damage.
All right. This thing is starting to fall apart. It's bloodied. Okay. It steps back. And it casts a spell. Sarna, give me either an acrobatics check or a reflex save for this. As it conjures some grease upon the on the entirety of your sword.
It's the same number for me anyway, so.
Cool.
24.
All right. Your sword is slippery, but you don't lose your hold on it. So you get a minus two penalty to checks involving the object. So that means your attack rolls and stuff.
Is there, can you take an action to try to wipe it off? Or, like, how does that work?
The grease lasts for the duration of the spell.
Okay, it's magic grease.
Yeah. And that's its turn. Ev.
Ev is going to reap. What do I like better? I think Ev's gonna go back to the Ray of Frost. Okay. Striking at the red dot, actually, since it's looking worse for wear.
Yep.
So Ev chants Yavaridi. And I roll to strike with my Ray of Frost. Oh, only a 16.
That's going to miss. Unless you want to use an essence point.
No, I don't think so. I'm anticipating scarier things ahead.
Well, remember that essence points refresh at the start of a session, not like so.
True.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll wait just in case I do something.
No problem. You have an action left.
Shield.
I did that last.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't use the block, so can I
do you can keep it up until you block with it, I think.
Yeah.
Once you block that, you lose it for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Ev just does a quick angaho again to bring up his shield.
All right. This Mughal is been defeated, so it's Saren's turn.
All right. I'm definitely going to keep up the Inspire Courage. That seems useful. And I will lob that pistol telekinetically at that plague pork again.
That plork.
Plague pork.
Plork.
Plague pork.
I hit a 23.
That hits. I just need to roll max damage and defeat it.
Nowhere near max. I got a 1, a 2, and a 4. And that's 11 points. I'm not complaining to it. Actually, it's 12. I didn't add my own Inspire Courage. But 12 points.
Okay. It looks like it's on its last legs.
On its last hoof.
Last hooves. Leading into Ziadani's turn.
Well, if it's on its last hooves, then I'm going to step up to it and make a strike.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
Do you perhaps want to maybe move between the two boars so then if you manage to take it out, you can immediately turn to attack the other one?
Yeah, I guess I'll do that.
I don't know.
I don't. Well, I mean, the risk of doing that is that if I roll extremely poorly, then I'm flanked and their turns come up and they will be flanking me, both of them, without needing to move. That's the risk of that. But I guess if I roll poorly, I can use an essence point.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go for it.
Okay. Time for a natural one.
High risk, high reward.
I already rolled one of those. We'll see if I
can. Oh, that's true. You can only roll one natural one per session.
That's the rule. As soon as that second natural one comes, you just get a free reroll.
It's on page of the Pathfinder 2E core rulebook.
Are you including the plus one?
It's not. So it is a 20.
20 hits.
So I do 13 damage.
13 damage is enough to defeat this Mughal.
Yes, all right. And then my second attack against the second one.
That Inspired Courage is really paying off.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm maintaining it.
It's only a 15, but I'm going to use... What did I roll for that? I rolled a 5. I'm going to use an Essence Point.
Okay.
What? Okay, well, I still miss. That was not good.
That's how things are sometimes.
It is.
But you're no longer frightened.
Oh, that's true.
So that's nice. All right, this new call will speak to Coyote Ziadani. Coyote? Yeah, anyway.
I see what you're doing.
In a similarly vexing question
why have you returned, child of the temple?
And goes to strike you. 14 misses.
Yeah, 14 will soundly miss.
And a 16 misses.
Yes.
And it kind of paces away from you. Interesting. Turn.
All right. I will move up to the last remaining boar.
Mm-hmm.
And
Stick with what you know. I'm going to power attack. Power attack has been serving me well. So that is a 36 to hit. Holy crap. That's a crit. Holy crap.
Do you add the plus one from Saren?
Yes, that was including the plus one.
Okay, well, go ahead and roll your crit damage.
Rolling my crit power attack damage. Okay, that's only 16 times 2. So that is 32?
32 damage. It's a pretty rough hit. Cool.
And that's my turn.
Ev's turn.
Ev is... Yeah, just going to repeat. Yabaridi as he chants and casts Ray of Frost for 27.
27's a hit.
So I'll do it right this time. 3d4 plus 4. For 11 damage.
11 damage. Great.
And Ev's going to move up just a little bit behind Saren.
Okay. Speaking of, hey, Saren's turn.
Always seems to come more quickly than I expected. All right. So we got...
Well, suddenly three of the other opponents in combat are...
Yeah. And you know what? I like what I've been doing, so I will go ahead and do it again.
Okay. You inspire courage and you throw a gun.
Yep.
Here we go.
And I'll get a mighty 11 to hit.
That's not going to do it.
Yeah, no. Wouldn't expect it to. But given that we now massively outnumber this thing, I think I'm happy with just giving my plus one bonus to people in an area and not, like, burning points for it. So... For the moment, we'll leave it at that.
A coyote known as Ziadani's turn.
Yes, Ziadani is going to bound up and move into flanking with Sarna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then... I've got a 32. Oh! A 32 against flat-footed.
It's a crit.
So do you want me to double that 13, or are you going to give me that maximum damage 42?
No, I want to follow the rules of... I don't know why roll 20 chooses to re-roll the second time when
I don't know either. Damage.
But so I like sticking with 20, 26.
Yeah. 26 is good. It's not that 42, but it's good.
Wow, that was literally max damage. Hey, you have another action, though. You can try to finish this thing off.
Let's see. I've got an 18 against flat-footed
that
for 14
hits.
Damage.
That's enough to finish off this new crawl.
All right.
So these things have been torn apart, cut up, chunks of them frozen off and whatnot. Their bodies all fall apart. They're all just kind of splayed out, destroyed. And as you take the last one down, you notice so they have eyes, and like some of them have been like milky white cataract style eyes and stuff, but they obviously still have eyes and use those to like look around. But as the last one goes down, you all can see just based on where you are, it seems like simultaneously in unison, all of their eyes roll into the back of their heads, just showing just the white of their eyes. And then you hear the sick, gross, wet laughter out loud, not in your heads, they're doing it out loud, and it just echoes and echoes for a bit, and then you see their bodies just kind of melt away as if like in fast forward being consumed by you know, maggots and disease and stuff, and then they're gone.
This well, place ain't right.
That was disgusting, but I'm very proud of us. Well done, team. I'm sure that we can all use our confidence going forward.
Yeah, we have to.
I do have something to tell you all, though. They couldn't hear what was... the rest of the party couldn't hear telepathy. The things they were whispering. Okay, so... when I was fighting one of them, it said in my head, it said, why choose to return? Whatever we're dealing with here, it knows about whatever that legacy of those old warriors were, and it knows our connection with them better than we do.
So
Ziadani de-animal transforms, turns back into her normal self and says, it say that to me too. It called me Child of the Temple.
All right. Well, good. Hello. When the enemy knows more about you than you do. I love that feeling.
I mean, also, they are not a reliable information source. They could easily just be messing with us.
I honestly don't think so. That seems like a strange coincidence if they were messing with us with something that did seem to be connected to our stories. Oh, it's probably mind games for sure, but I suspect it's based in some kind of actual knowledge. But that's
especially
just
if it's them recognizing power rather than recognizing our faces.
That's possible.
Unless we also ultimately truly look like the people from the past too.
That's the thing that's been haunting me, you know? Like, what if we are reincarnated? You know, who am I to say that's not possible?
It's possible, but it seems unlikely. Saren ain't even from here.
Well, true. No, but if I can come here, then if I'm reincarnated from someone here, they could have gone there to my homeland. In fact, it is so unlikely that I would arrive here that one could make the argument that it makes more sense that I am a reincarnation that is drawn to this homeland than I was a court musician that decided I didn't like the comfy court life and I would rather go to plague pork-infested ziggurats.
Not a ziggurat, as we have established. Out of character. Sarna doesn't know what a ziggurat is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, Saren's a bard. He just wants to use the cool word.
That's fair.
It's literally artistic license.
This has been a No Direction production. Valiant is an original homebrew campaign and is possible with the support of listeners like you. If you would like to support Valiant and the rest of the No Direction network, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/nodirection. Join us next time for the next episode of Valiant.